How many of you have ever found yourself in a situation where your back was against the wall? Just about all of you. Okay. My back was against the wall this morning when I got here and things weren't working. But all of us, I think, come across those situations in life where there isn't a whole lot of room. For whatever reason, we don't have the wisdom, the courage, the strength to get out of the situation we're in. And as we look around and assess things, we don't see very many options. We have no answers, and we really feel like we have no place to move. Right now, some of you might be feeling life circumstances that make you feel like your back is against the wall. It could be issues with your spouse, your parents, or even your children. Some might say, I just got a medical diagnosis. Maybe you don't know how to deal with that. Maybe you have children who have been sick, have been to the doctors, and you still can't figure out what's going on. And you're struggling to find hope in that situation. Maybe you even feel stuck in your faith journey, not knowing where to move or how to move forward. Detours. You remember we did a series on detours not too long ago, and all the pictures of the detour signs that we find ourselves going in. Detours lead us to places of despair. Maybe we are trying to do it on our own, and we got nothing. But you know what? The Bible isn't silent on those situations. The Bible isn't silent. It is full of people who wrestled with struggles and circumstances, who felt like they couldn't go on anymore. People who had their faith in God tested, and they hopelessly came to the point in their own minds where they had no more options. Again, some of them have put themselves in their own situations with their own decisions. Others were put in those situations because of somebody else. And others have just randomly run into circumstances in life that have made them stuck. Of all the people in the scriptures, a lot of common and ordinary and very human people, one of whom was a guy named David. One of the most famous kings of Israel, he even recorded his thoughts and prayers and experiences almost like journaling. He shares his emotions in a book called Psalms, a book that talks about not only where David found himself at certain times and places in life, but he shares his emotions and his candor, holding nothing back even from God. So over the next several weeks, we are going to look at one psalm. One particular psalm in which David is very candid with God. And he does it at a time where he finds himself with his back against the wall, and he is full of despair. In verse 1, twice David asks God to listen to him. He says, "Hear my prayer, O God, and listen to my plea." It shows the gravity of his situation and that he is desperate. We don't know the actual situation which David found himself in those moments, which actually is a good thing. David did us a favor by not naming it, because we can apply our own context to the situation. David is saying, Lord, I'm in trouble. My back is against the wall. I can't go backward. I can't go forward. I can't go one way or the other. I can't muscle my way out of this. And the thing that most of us try to do when we find ourselves in difficult or trying situations, what is it that we try to do? We say, hey, we're going to do it our way, and we're going to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. And it doesn't work. Another way is, God, you're good. Lord, you're dependable. I know if I can depend on nothing else, I can depend on you. Because I know you are faithful and righteous. I know, Lord, that I can depend on you, that you are righteous. That means you will always do what is right. And David says, you only do and always do what is right. David even says, though my back is against the wall, I realize I can't get out of this. I'm not even going to try to get out of it. But God, I want you involved in this mess. Because only you and always you are right. You see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get into those difficult situations when we're looking around and thinking, man, I'm doing this, and it's going to be a tough time, but if I pull myself up by my bootstraps, I know I'll get through. God wants us to then step back and say, I need your help. I need your help. He wants us. And he wants those things in our lives that put us in a difficult situation to drive us back to him. Another way to put it is, God, you are so good and dependable. I can always trust you. You're always doing what's right. Even though my back is against the wall and I can't get out of this, Lord, I'm going to involve you because I can't do it, but I know you can. In verse 2 of that passage, Psalm 143, David says, don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. David is acknowledging here at this moment that nobody's innocent, nobody's free of guilt or blame. What he's admitting is, God, some of this situation may be my fault. And some of it may be somebody else's fault. Most likely, it's a little bit of both. He's saying, David is, I'm at fault to one degree or another. My choices, my actions set me up to be up against the wall. His choices, his actions. There may be troubles in our lives. And if we're honest, sometimes we're to blame. Sometimes somebody else is to blame. Sometimes nobody is to blame. But more than likely, it's a little bit of us and a little bit of somebody else. There may be troubles in our lives. But when we come to God, we have to realize nobody's innocent. Nobody's without fault. Nobody at times can step back and say, well, I'm perfect, and everybody else around me is the ones to blame, and I shouldn't feel any guilt or responsibility. He says in verse 4, my enemy has chased me. He has knocked me to the ground and forced me to live in darkness like those in a grave. I am losing all hope. I'm paralyzed with fear. David is saying, part of the reason I'm here is because of me. But there are other folks too. Somebody else could be involved, but like I said, probably it's a mixture of both. And David is like, God, I'm losing all hope. He says, paralyzed with fear. In other words, I am worn out. I'm stuck. My guess is that all of us here today know that feeling. Where you think, I can't imagine how this is going to work out. So he doesn't know what to do, but he asks God to step in. He says, God, I need you. I need you to do whatever you can. You are always good and will always do what is right. And then David does four things to get him away from the wall and navigate through this time. A four-step process when we've lost our way. And the thing is, you can all apply this to your lives every single day. Every single day. Four-step process, which we have when we've lost our way, we can apply it to our own lives to move us away from our back that's against the wall and move us more closely toward God. Here's the process. How to back away from a wall and get your act together. Verses 5 and 6 say, I remember the days of old. I ponder all of your great works, and I think about what you have done. It is in that beginning that God says, let me just pick on somebody here. Rita, you're just sitting back there, not up here today, so I'll pick on you. Rita, I want you to think about all the great things that I have done since the beginning of creation. Wow, that's right. God is getting us set up here to stop worrying about whatever my back is against and getting me to look up to him and what he has done throughout history. Here's the process. How to back away from the wall. Remember the days of old. Ponder all the great works that I have done. And as you think about that, and you see my hand moving through history, you realize there is nothing I can't do. It causes us inside, when we begin to think about that, it leads us to worship. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. First, he says, I'm going to remember the days of old. I'm going to remember, God, the things that you have done in the past and the ways that you have broken through for others in the past. And to go forward, sometimes we need to look backward to be able to move forward. Be kind of like getting stuck in a ditch. All right? Anybody get stuck in a ditch coming to church today? No. Okay. But sometimes you just can't keep plowing ahead. Can you with that tractor, Charlie? You're okay. But most of us aren't going to have four-wheel drive, right? Sometimes you got to back up a little bit. See what's going on around you and see what God's done and then floor it. But the idea is you have to look back and see what God has done. Look back and find the places where God has been great and where he has come through in the past. It's a change of mindset. Here we find ourselves at the end of our rope and we want action, but God says, first, I need to change your mindset before we do anything else. I want you to think about it. You're in despair. You look at your situation and realize you don't have enough money. The bills are coming due this week, and you don't have the money. Your mind is spinning 100 miles an hour because you don't have what you need. And you're trying to figure it out, but you just can't make the payment. Or you're sick and you've been to doctors and you just didn't go to this doctor because he would have found out what your problem was and got you started and taken care. But you've gone to doctors and they can't help you. It only gets worse. And your mind is spinning. You can't see forward. And David says, remember and see God's faithfulness. It will remind you that God is powerful and faithful. And David concludes at the end of this little discussion that he's written about. He says, I remember the days of old, and I ponder all your great works. You need to stop. You need to turn off the TV. You need to turn off the computer. You need to shut off your phone. And you need to spend time thinking about the greatness of God and what he has done in this world and what he can do in your life. And David says, I look and I see the stars and the vastness of what you've created. I see the grandeur of the mountains, the fierceness of thunder and lightning. I'm not looking. When was the last time you shut off your phone? You shut off your computer. You shut off the TV. And really just pondered what God has done. Think about it. That you thought about the goodness and greatness of God. And when our backs are against the wall, we can't focus on what God's doing because we're worried about where we're at and where we're stuck. And our problems get bigger, and we allow our minds to think God is getting smaller. And our confidence in God gets smaller, and we question, well, is God really big enough? We get to the point where we say, I don't know if God can handle this situation, This is what's happening here. David is beginning to get a transformation, a reset of his mind and his thinking. He is saying, I remember your works through history, and I'm not the first person in my circumstance. You've helped others before me, and you will always do good. You're majestic, and you have all that power in your hand. Nobody is like you. I will remember and ponder on things and about your faithfulness to me in the past. I will meditate. I will go over and over the details of past deliverances and ponder your greatness. Because, Lord, you're always faithful. That's why a lot of people keep journals about their daily walk. It's to remind them of what God has done in the past for others and for them. Because so oftentimes that big thing happens that we were so worried about. God gets us through it, and then we forget about it. It's why people journal, because it's so easy to forget what God has done. Same if you're newer your walk, your faith journey. A journal allows you to go back and see what God has done in your life, but also in the lives of others, so that you can learn from them. Understand before we go any further that getting out of that space where your back is against the wall will not happen with a snap of the finger. No magic pixie dust from God will fall on your situation and just make it go away. It's going to take time. Meditating on what he has done, meditating on his vastness, and using the time to get closer to God. What he's done for me, what he's done for you. Which allows this four-step process to be worked out. When we pause and stop, when we think about what God has done in the past, when we realize that there are other people in our circumstance and God has brought them through. And then we begin to open our hearts to what he wants to do. And we get so much less concerned about the problem. And so much more encouraged by the power of God.